Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
It's a joy to be in the Word of God with you all today. It's always a good time to be in the Word. And we're in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. And we'll talk to you about Paul's prison prayer. And I believe it'll be a blessing for us today if we'll listen and be intent on what God wants to say to us. And if you can, let's honor God's word. We'll be in verses 14 through 19 this morning. If you can, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word this morning? All right. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Wow. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that a great prayer? Father, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I thank you for this marvelous example of a prayer in the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of prayer. And God, may we continue to be people of prayer. Oh, for such a time as this, that God's people might bombard heaven with the prayers of the saints. And over there in Revelation, Father, I remember reading about those great bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints that are ever before you. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. As I mentioned a minute ago, this is one of the most fabulous prayers in all the Bible. Wasn't that a fabulous prayer? Fabulous prayer. And who prayed this prayer? Paul did, right? And where did he pray this prayer? While he was in prison. How do you pen a prayer in prison like this? Well, it's really easy when you understand that Paul was not, while Paul may have been in prison physically, he was in heavenly places spiritually. And you may be like the Apostle Paul this morning. Maybe you're in a prison of suffering, or maybe you're in a prison of illness and sickness and disease, or maybe you're in a prison of loneliness, or a prison of financial loss, or some other type of prison. Can I submit to you, one of the greatest ministries you can be involved in is prayer. Look at your neighbor and say, it's prayer. It is. It's all about prayer. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at this great prison prayer of the Apostle Paul. You can have a mighty ministry. I was talking to my grandmama Hampton years ago. My dad and mom were over in Korea doing medical missions work, and it was kind of my responsibility to check on grandmama. And I was over there in her apartment on Malibu Apartments, and I went in to see her that day, and she said, "Cal, I'm having a pity party." She said, "I'm just not worth anything." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah, I'm just pitiful. I'm just not worth anything." I said, "Well, let me ask you some questions. Do you pray for me?" And she looked like I'd shot her with a gun. She said, well, of course I pray for you, son. And I said, do you pray for my family? And she said, well, you know I pray for your family. I said, do you pray for our church? She said, yes, I pray for your church. And so I went through this litany of stuff about prayer. And I said, grandmother, you may have the greatest ministry in Clarksville. And she put this big smile on her face, and I didn't hear any more about the pity party that afternoon. Folks, one of the greatest ministries that you can be involved in is the ministry of prayer. And there's two tremendous things that jumped out at me this week in this passage of Scripture, the humility of prayer and the heart of prayer. And so I want to unpack those two truths, and they come straight out of the Scriptures here. First of all, let's take a look at the humility of prayer in verses 14 and 15. Now, Paul, did you notice the position there in verse 14 of prayer that he assumes? The position. He says, I bow my knees. That is one position that we pray in, right? Y'all, this is a dialogue, right? All right, this isn't a monologue. This is a dialogue. And whether you're saying something or not, it is a dialogue. You're thinking, at least I hope you are. And so Paul says, I bow my knees. That's the position. Now, there's all kinds of positions of prayer in the Scriptures. I mean, there's not one set way position to pray in. I mean, people pray standing up in the Bible. People pray laying down in the Bible. People pray face down. People pray sitting. People pray kneeling all throughout the Scriptures. And I was on my way to Camp Lindon yesterday for a TBMB committee meeting, and guess what I was doing on my way down there and on my way back? I was praying, you know, and I had people pass me and look at me, and they see me talking and they think, this guy's a nut. I was praying as I Jerry Vines prays when he's jogging. We were over at the Wailing Wall a couple of years ago in Jerusalem, and I was noticing these people praying there at the Wailing Wall. They'd put their, you know, their little prayer request in the wall, and then they lift their hands toward heaven and their eyes toward heaven and pray, the position of prayer. But I want to tell you, there is something very, very special when we humble ourselves and bow, submitting ourselves to God. That's a special position to pray. You don't always have to pray that way, but I want to tell you, some of the greatest prayer meetings that I've ever been in took place at an old-fashioned altar to see and hear people bowing their knees, bowing in submission to the Lord God and crying out to Him. That's the position that Paul is assuming here. He says, I bow my knees. And I want to ask you, is there a time every day when you spend time bowing the knee, when you spend time in the position of prayer? But also notice the person that Paul approaches in prayer. Did you catch that? He said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can today, we're spoiled rotten. We don't have to go find a priest. We can go immediately into the very presence of God Almighty. Anytime, anywhere, any place, 24/7, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, I believe it is, says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. Are we needy people this morning? Well, we can go boldly anytime we get ready into the presence of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. You remember when he died on the cross? What happened with that big temple curtain? It was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that anytime now humanity can go directly into the presence of God through prayer. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of his son. Amen. And Paul says he approaches the person. He calls God what? Father. He says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes in today's society, that term father is a source of hurt, Not everybody has a great earthly father. Can I get a witness? I mean, you may have had an awful earthly father. Somebody who was absent. Somebody who was alcoholic. Somebody who was abusive. But I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father will always be the kind of father that you need and want. And when you pray to our Heavenly Father, you are praying to the Father of this universe, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says here. What an awesome privilege to pray to the Father. And by the way, did you catch verse 15? Did you see this? Even, let's see, from when the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You see, when we pray to our Father in heaven, we're praying as part of a family. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, family. It may just be dawning on you, but we're family. We are family. And when we pray to our Father, we're praying to with another family. Now, Paul says that the family of God, as we're praying to our Father in heaven, the family of God is in one of two places, either in heaven or on earth. I mean, some of God's family and our family has gone into heaven. In other words, they passed on, and some of them are still on earth, and we're keeping on. Let me say that again. Some of God's family's in heaven. They've passed on. They've gone on. But some of us are still here. We're going to keep keeping on, right? And so when we pray, we're praying as part of this great family of God. Now, there is one other place where there are some people. Philippians 2 and verse 10 says that there's folks under the earth. That's a place the Bible calls hell. And let me just tell you, people in hell are screaming and crying out to God right now. But you know, folks, you listen to your preacher, you listen to the pastor this morning. The only prayer God hears are the prayers of His people. Amen. If you wind up in hell and you start trying to pray, it's too late. It's too late. And so please don't leave here lost today. You're going to have an opportunity. I think most of us are, you know, y'all think I'm saved. You don't know for sure, but you think I am. The only two who really know that I'm saved is me and him, right? But if you're not born again today, and by the way, to pray to our Heavenly Father, you've got to get born again. A spiritual birth has to take place. And so there's tremendous humility in prayer. Paul is saying, I bow my knees. He is submitting himself to God, and he's praying, not only he's praying to the Father in heaven, but he's praying along with this great family of God. There's nothing like prayer. Oh my goodness, what a special thing it is when God's people gather for prayer. So, but here's what I really wanted to get to this morning. Let's take a look at the heart of prayer, the heart of prayer in verses 16 through 19. Now, you may remember, I think Billy, when he taught through the book of Ephesians, said that in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, that's the longest run-on sentence in the Bible. And it probably is. You know, Paul's trying to get the Ephesians to understand just who they are in Christ. He wants them to understand just who they are spiritually in the Lord. And he lists a lot of their spiritual blessings. He talks about their spiritual inheritance. And he's trying to get the Ephesians to understand who they are. Look at chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so Paul's trying to get them to understand who they are in Christ. But by the time you get over to chapter 3 and verse 18, he says this, may be that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, I've been saved for 54 years. I'm a dinosaur. And And now that I'm 54, I've been saved 54 years. Can I just tell you, I have an understanding of who I am in Christ. I do. I know who I am in Christ. Thank God that he would save an old filthy, hell-bound, rotten sinner like me. I know who I am in Christ. But the bigger issue for me now is living up to who I'm supposed to be in Christ. Hello? And I think that's the case for most of us in here. That's what he's talking about here in verse 18 of chapter 3. And so Paul is praying that the children of God might begin to live up to be who we're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. And we need to live up to who we are. Amen? Now, I don't know if y'all, this may be heresy for some of y'all, but if you mark in your Bible, did any of y'all write in your Bible in the margins? Oh, bless God. So I'm not the only heretic in the room. Okay, good deal. There are four that's, T-H-A-T, four that's in these verses, in verses 16 through 19. Now, what I'd like for you to do is circle those four that's as we move through them, because you know why? These are four steps in prayer that we can take that will help us live up to who we're supposed to be in Christ. Man, if you came looking for something practical to church today, this is a gold mine of stuff. Four steps, four that's. As we pray, these four steps of prayer will help us become all that God wants us to be. And would to God that everybody leave here today and this week live up to who we are in Christ. Glory to his name. So let's take a look at this. First of all, there is in this the heart of this prayer has to do with enablement. Enablement. Now that's a big word, but look at verse 16. Here's the first that. Do you see it? Do you see it? Okay. Whatever you do, don't circle it now. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. You see, he's talking about being enabled to be strengthened to live in a way that we're supposed to live. Now, Paul wanted the Ephesians to be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Could any of y'all stand and give testimony of the power of the Spirit of God this week? You cannot live without the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to have it. And 2 Corinthians, he talks here in verse 16 and about this inner man. Well, who is that? What is that all about? The inner man is who you are on the inside. Your body just simply houses who you really are. Your inner man, and if we want to be, you know, your inner woman, okay, that's who you really are inside. That's what makes you say the things you say, tick the way you tick, walk the way you walk, make the decisions you might, reason the way you reason, calculate. All of that stuff is who you really, the way you love, the way you extend compassion. That's who you are. That's your inner man. But here's the bad news. Ellen, go to 2 Corinthians 4, would you? Verse 16. I want everybody to see this. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Wasn't that what I was telling my grandmama Hampton? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. How often? Day by day. Now, the outward man is perishing, but by the way, when you're born, you're old enough to die, and you start dying. What color is my hair? Bless God. The older, you know, in the outward man, it's perishing. And this white hair tells you, thank God, it has turned gray, but it hadn't turned loose yet. Some of y'all are thinking, oh boy. You know, and our eyesight's going dim. Our hearing's getting dull. And Diane and I were talking about this week, our minds are getting stale. Now, she said this, I didn't say this. But she said, I just can't remember anything anymore. Can I get a witness? I think a lot of us are at that point. And so our outward man is perishing, dying. But bless God, our inner man is being renewed. How often? Day by day. That's what Paul's talking about here, about being enabled. The inner man is being strengthened by whom? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live the Christian life without the power and the presence of the Spirit of Almighty God. Do you know Him? You ought to get to know Him on a regular basis. And so that's what Paul's praying there. In this, the heart of this prayer has to do with enablement. You can't live without the power of God. And then, secondly, the second that is there in verse 17a, that, circle it, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. Now, it was Paul's desire that Christ would so dwell in the hearts of the Ephesians that they would begin to live life in a greater way. They would actually live out who they're supposed to be. Now, we're not talking about salvation here. Paul's writing to whom? Believers. We're talking about sanctification here. The word dwell there means to settle down and be at home. We're talking about enthronement. That's what Paul's praying about, that the Ephesians would give the Lord Jesus a personal crowning in their heart of hearts. Every saved person should make Jesus feel at home in the rooms of their heart. I'll say it one more time. Every saved person should make Jesus feel at home, dwell, to settle down and be at home, in the rooms of their heart. Now, I know there's no literal rooms in your heart, but we do compartmentalize things, do we not? I mean, you've got the resource room in your heart. You've got the recreation room. You've got the hospitality room. You've got the work room. You've got the family room. You've got the bedroom. You've got all kinds of rooms in your heart. And what happens a lot of the times is we will allow Jesus to reign and rule in all these rooms and all these areas of our heart, but we'll kind of keep one or two rooms for ourselves. Are y'all with me? And what Paul's talking about here in this prayer of enthronement is that Jesus Christ would be allowed to reign and rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in every room of your heart. Isn't that a great prayer? If Jesus truly is Lord, is He Lord of every area of your life? What a great word for us this morning. And so this is, now, someone has well said, I don't know who said it, but if Jesus is not on the throne of your heart, that He's still on the cross. And self is on the throne. You see, that ought to be flip-flopped, right? Jesus ought to be on the throne of my heart, and I'm on the cross on a daily basis, dying to self, right? And so this is the heart of this prayer has to do with enablement, that we're to live by the power of God and that we're to crown Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords on a daily basis and allow Him access to every room in our heart. And then there's this sense of enlightenment. Look at the third that. He says that in verse 17b, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, I don't know what blows you away, but what blows me away is that God loves me. He knows everything there is to know about me. He knows way down in the depths of my soul who Cal Hampton is. And yet He still loves me. Unconditionally. Sacrificially. He just loves me. And this prayer is, Paul's praying that the Ephesians might be enlightened to the fact that Jesus really does love them. How many of you have heard Dwight Dixon on his ukulele or banjo or whatever those instruments he plays, Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen. Jesus loves us. You kids, listen to me. You children, you kids, listen to me. There isn't anything that you can go out here and do that'll make God love you any more than he does right now. And there isn't anything you can go out here and do that'll make God love you any less than he does right now. God just loves y'all. And adults, here's a little secret for you. He loves y'all too. Hello? And so we live rooted and built in this love of Christ Jesus. Love is the number one attribute, the number one characteristic of the Christian life. We love one another in the love of the Lord Jesus. Love, that we might understand and have knowledge of the love. Don't you wish everybody had what we have? The love of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Now, love will change your life. I said love will change your life. And if your life hasn't changed dramatically, then you really don't know the love of Jesus. And you know, this is what I find in the lives of so many Christians don't love themselves. You don't have any right not to love yourself. Jesus loves you. And if he loves you, you need to love yourself. Quit putting yourself down. Quit just simply, next time the devil whispers something negative in your heart, you tell him, you're a liar. Jesus Christ loves me so much that he died for me and rose again so that I might have life. And one day he's coming for me. He loves me. That's what he's talking about here, being so enlightened. You can't be who you're supposed to be in Christ unless you understand that God just loves you and he has spread this love to the dimensions of the universe. I could preach on all afternoon about this stuff, but there's one final that. Did you see it? Did you catch it there in verse 19? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Paul is praying that the believers in Ephesus might have the capacity to love God in a greater way. Did you know that every day you have a greater capacity? We ought to have a greater capacity to love God better than we did yesterday. That's what he's talking about here. I remember as a kid picking up, I used to love to pick up those seashells. And I would take them home from the beach with me, and you could hear the what in the seashells. And then I found out something else. The larger the seashell, the greater the sound of the ocean in that seashell. And that's what he's saying here. The more you understand the love of Christ Jesus, hello, the greater the capacity you have for the things of God. That's such a great word for us to know this morning. The more we grow to love God, the more he can do in us, through us, and for us. He wants to do a greater work than he's ever done through this church. And I've come here today to tell you, he wants to do something through you, a greater work through you than he's ever done before. And if you would surrender wholeheartedly today, crown him King of Kings in your life over every room in your heart, that you'd make him feel at home, where he can reign and rule in every area of your life, you know what God will do? He'll do things through you and to you and for you that you never dreamed of. We've got so much out in front of us, brothers and sisters. I'm not discouraged. These are the greatest days to live in the United States of America that we've ever lived. There's never been a greater time to get the gospel to people than right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I don't know what you're going to do, but y'all know God is a gentleman, and he's not going to bust that door of your heart down. He's waiting on you this morning to become all that God wants you to be. But you've got to answer the bell. You've got to answer the door. Behold, I stand at the door. That's not a salvation passage there. That is a discipleship, sanctification passage. And right now, today, God's knocking on the door of our hearts. And he wants to have every room in your heart. And you've got to let him have it. And one day when you stand before him, you'll be so glad you did. And I want to tell you, your family, your neighborhood, your community, this city, this county, this state, this world will be better off because you said yes to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I don't even begin to understand everything, but I know this. You're Lord of the universe. And one day every knee is going to bow and confess that you are Lord. Every knee is going to bow. Those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And this morning we have an opportunity to do just that. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Send revival to your people. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive me for not living up to who I am in Christ, for not leaning on the power of God, for not being enlightened by the fact that you just love me. Forgive me, Lord, for not crowning you each and every morning of my life. And God, would you enlarge the ministry in my life today? I know there are others here that feel that way, and we ask for obedience to the task ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now's the time to respond to the word online, here in person. There's an altar here. Any way we can minister to you, right now's the time. Maybe you just need somebody to pray for you. That's what we've been talking about. You just come. You do whatever God leads you to do. Let's stand and sing Speak to My Heart.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.